today's daf is daf Pei Aleph. Iboilo. We're at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Pei Amid Beis. So the Gemara asks like this: how about a Shomer Yavam Shemeta? We've spoken about what to do with the money. It turns out that the money, namely the mana money, goes to the property of the husband because she never collected her ketubah. Right? Normally, a man's wife dies. He benefits from her death in that he doesn't have to pay out her ketubah. In exchange for that benefit, he's responsible for the funeral, right? But in the case of a Shomeret Yavam, it's slightly different. Because in the case of the Shomeret Yavam, he never owed her any money. Her brother owed her money, and he's just in a position of being an heir. So basically, the only benefit to him is that had he actually gone ahead and done the Yibam, so then he now saves the money that he would have had to pay her if he divorced her, if he died. And that's not the same thing now, is it? So the question over here is, who is responsible for the burial? Because the family, her family, is going to be Yoresh, the other things that are in there, that were part of what normally a Baal would have had, but that in this case are maybe in their ishes. So who is responsible for the burial? Mikovra. Yorshea Baal Kabila, the Kayartik Tufa. Do we say that the heirs of her previous husband bury her because they are not paying out now? The money, matayim, the tosefet, and so on. Odirma yorshea av kabrila dekayarti nechasim anechasim ayotzimima. Or do we say, since in this case the nechasim aluk are being given not to the husband as they normally would be if a woman dies, but they go back to her family because she doesn't have a husband? Maybe that would mean that her family is responsible to bury her. What's the halacha? Omer of Amram Tashma. I will bring you proof from the following bright. Tatan, Shomeret Yavam Shemeta, Yorsheha, her Yorshim, namely, which Yorshim? Yorshei Ketuvata, the ones that are inheriting the Ketuvah, are Chayavim Bikvurata. So then, as opposed to her Yorshim, that are big Yorish or Nichsei Malug, meaning her father's family, so her brothers, her nephews, whatever members of the family are left, maybe her father's still alive, but whatever the case may be, they're not the ones that are chayav b'kfura. Note that we say yorsheha and then define which yorsheha, yorshei ketuvata. Right, so that makes it very clear that there are two sets of yorshim. We'll see that that's important later. So there's two sets of yorshim. Omer Abaye, afanan ametanina. Says Abaye, look, we could see that later on from the Mishnah. Basically, almanan yizonet nichseyet tamim umaasei adeah shelahem. So the din is that an almana, as long as she is in the estate of her late husband, so she now continues to eat from the property that is the heir's. If she's working or whatever she's producing goes to her because they are giving her mizonot. Ve'in chayavin bikvurata. They, however, are not chayav in her kvura because if she dies, so her property is going to be given back to her yorshim. Yorsheha, yorshei ketuvata, chayavim bikvurata. The case, however, would be that those who are going to now be yoresh or ketuvah, they would be chayav in the kvura. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Yorsheha, yorshei ketuvata. I mean, isn't that the yorshim? Ah, says Abaye. Ezo amanash yesh lo shnei yorshim. What's the mean? Yorsheha, which yorsheha? Yorshei ketuvata. I understand. Are there two sets of yorshim? Indeed, there are. Zu shomeret yavam. So in other words, clearly this is referring to a shomeret yavam, where she has yorshim, and they are also yorshim that are not yorshei ketuvata, namely that they're going to inherit the same aluk. So how could that be? A woman who dies leaves her property to her husband. Ah, the point is over here that she was a shomeret yavam, and she never got yibum. She died before the yibum, so now the nifsei malug is going to be going back to her family. They're not the ones who do the kvura. The ones that are inheriting the mana matayim, they are the ones that are going to be doing the kvura. Omar Rava, this doesn't make sense to me, says Rava. I don't get it. A husband has to be kovarat ishto, yes, in exchange for the ketuvah. But that's because he's getting something from her. The brother, however, in this case, should say, excuse me, I have no business with this woman. I don't know who she is. Some lady drops dead, and I got to bury her? So what do you mean? You inherited her ketuvah? I inherited her ketuvah. I don't know what you're talking about. I inherited my dead brother's bank account, so I don't know anything about a ketuvah. So where did I get any benefit from her? I don't understand. Why am I responsible for a complete stranger? Right? So why can't he say, Ach ani yoresh, I inherited my brother. Ishto, ain't ani kover? Why don't you go bury my brother's ex-wife? What for? Omale Abaye says, Abaye, I'll explain it to you. Because we come to this guy, basically, with a neman of Shem. Because we're boyin alav mishnei tzadim. We're saying, look, im achiv yoresh, yikborat ishto, you're claiming that you get the entire property of your brother, which includes, dear sir, 200 zuz that kovert ishto. You're saying, well, but I don't know his wife. So fine, so then you take tuvata. So this was the deal that we had originally made. These 200 shekel are keneged the kvura. You're saying you inherited those two. Very good. We're happy that you inherited it. Okay, thank you. Please pay up the 200 zuz. Oh, you want to keep the 200 zuz? Well, then you better take care of the kvura. You can't have it both ways. What you can't eat it too? Omar Leh says, Rava, I'm sorry, but you're missing my point. Hochika amina. What I'm saying is this. What the man should be able to say is, Ach ani yoresh. I, ishto, have no intention of being kover. Now, what are you telling me? You're telling me that there's a ketuvah, and therefore I got to worry about the ketuvah. There is no ketuvah. This woman died before collecting her ketuvah. A ketuvah is lo nitna ketuvah ligvot mechayim. You cannot go ahead and be gova as long as the husband was alive. You can't be gova a ketuvah to say that there's some cash value to her in that ketuvah. She's got no right to that ketuvah. And since she's got no right to the ketuvah and died, I mean, I'm basically the husband. I was sitting here ready to do yibum on this woman, and she goes and ups and dies on me. So now, if that's the case, there was never a period in which she could have gone to collect her ketuvah, right? No. So what are you saying? There's some rights that she has to this money? She's got zero rights to this money. There was never a moment in her life that she had rights to this money.
Now, as the Ritva points out, you could have said exactly the same thing about her husband. Her husband, when he was alive, the ketuvah was not meant to be paid out, and she had no cash rights, and nonetheless, he needed to pay for her burial if she died, so why wouldn't we say that the Yavam is now in locum balus? And therefore he should marry her here also. So he explains that the difference between the Baal and the Yavam is that vis-a-vis the Baal, when she dies during his lifetime, the Chachamim gave him a din as if he was a Yoresh of her ketuvah, even though it couldn't have been collected in her lifetime. Mashenkim, when it comes to the Yavam, where the Baal dies first and has now inherited he has inherited from him everything that he owns, that means that the Yavam was Zoch in the Ksuvah before he ever became Chayiv in the Kvura, because meanwhile she was alive. When she dies, how did he suddenly become Chayiv in the Kvura? The Baal all along was Chayiv.
Says Abaye to him, now, wait a second. The only one who holds that, Man Shamatli the Itle Midrash Ktuva. Remember that there was a Shita, and that was the Shita of Beit Shammai, who says, read the Ktuva carefully and make a drosh. What was the case over there? The case was whether if we're allowing a woman to remarry, does that mean by definition she can collect the ketuvah? Or we're just going to make a takona for her not to be nevach without a husband? But, I mean, why should she be able to collect? Says Abaye, says Beit Shammai, in that case, gentlemen, if she's able to remarry, by definition she collects her ketuvah. Because it says in the ketuvah that if you will, up until the point that you marry somebody else, you will be nizonet from me. The moment that you marry somebody else, you get your ketuvah. So by definition, you cannot have a marriage without being mechayev or mektuvah. But that's Beit Shammai's fault. So therefore, says Abaye to Rava, what you're doing is you're making that drasha. You're making the drasha in the ketuvah that says you only have rights to this ketuvah if you're going to go ahead and be remarried. And therefore, you're claiming that there's no point in time in which he had rights for gviyah. But that's Beit Shammai. Even if you hold of this then, shamat lula Beit Shammai namishtara omedek vodki gavuidam. Beit Shammai Shita is that someone who has a shtar is considered to be already muchzek in the property. So look, that is omed likvot, this is paid to the bearer, I can collect it. Don't come along now and say, yeah, but it's a piece of paper only, now you got to prove, I have a taina, so you're trying to collect money from me, you can't collect. No. A shtar gives you actually a chazaka. So if this is the case, so you now have a chazaka if you are the woman against his property, and therefore we can't say that it's as if she never had any rights to this ksufa. Therefore, I'm telling you, says Abaye, that we could still come back to him and say, dear sir, Mamanavshach, if you want to collect your dead brother's property, including the money of the ksuva, take care of the kfura. You don't? Then give back the ksuva. But you can't have it both ways. Because even if you hold a Beit Shammai, that she has no rights of collection, but she has a shtar. According to Beit Shammai, a shtar gives you a particular chazak on the property. So I don't need to collect. It's as if it's collected. So no matter how you look at it, there's no problem. How do we know that Beit Shammai holds shtar or made ligvot ki gavuidami? It's not. Meitu ba'alehem ad sheloshatu. In a case where a woman was a sota, and now she is supposed to be taken to the Beit HaMikdash to drink the mei sota, and her husband dies before he gets a chance to give her the drink of the mei sota. And the halacha is that a woman who does not have a husband cannot drink the mei sota, because it says hevi ha'ish et ishto, and there's no ish to be hevi et ishto. So what happens if that case where the husband died? Beit Shammai omrim notlot ketuva velo shotot. Okay, the husband died. They can't drink, but they take the ketuvah. Whereas Beis Hillel says, how can they take the ketuvah? Maybe she wasn't ruhiya for the ketuvah. If she wants the ketuvah, she'll have to drink. O shotot, o lo notlot ketuvah. Says the Gemara, what do you mean o shotot? There's no option for her to be shota, because she's a sota without a husband. And it says, ve'evi ha'ish et ishto ala kohen, o marachmona. V'leka, there is no ish to bring ishto ala kohen. Rather, what Beit Hillel meant was, Ella, mitoch sheloshatot, since she cannot drink from the mesota, therefore, by definition, lo notlot ketuvah. Whereas Beit Shammai omrim, notlot ketuvah velo shotot. Why? Isn't it a suffix? Well, we say, amotzi mechavero alav araya, she wants to collect the ksuvah. She can't prove that she's not a sota, and that he owes her the ksuvah, so she shouldn't be able to collect the ksuvah. How do you explain this? Well, my sveiku, suffix anai, suffix lo zanai. What are you going to say? Ka'ati safik amotzi bidei vadai? That her safik, maybe she's ru'uya for a ketuvah, to take the money away from the husband? I don't understand how that works. Must be that kasavri beit shamai, shtar ha'omed ligvot kegavui dami. That since now this shtar is going to give her specific rights, it's not considered to be a safik big motzi bidei vadai. But, wait a minute. I thought you're saying that according to Beit Shammai, we're derech the lashon of the ksuvah. The lashon of the ksuvah says the following words: Kishetinas ila acher, when you are to marry someone else, titli mashekatuv lichi. In the event of my death, if you marry somebody else, take the money that is in this shtar. And over here, she never did get married to anybody else. Answers the Gemara: Amar Rav Ashi, yovam nami ke acher dami. Can is not enough.
Is it the same thing?
Yes, because what it means is that the moment that you have now made arrangements for marriage, so then you're no longer being nizon from my home, right? Once the amana goes out, when she accepts kedushin from somebody, it's over. So we saw earlier. So at that point, she ceases to collect from the estate, and now she collects her ketuvah.
So the zika of the yibum?
Exactly. The zika of the yibum itself means she's now ready to be married. No, she's not at all like a regular almanah.
Right.
She's an almanah who has a husband. He just hasn't had a chance to go through a consummation. She's a regular almanah. She's not a.
What's the problem? So she's like almanah.
You've been way too awake the past few days. There must be a lot of caffeine in this. In this tea. she's a regular amana, so when she collects her ktuvah, she can collect it. Well, like any amana. You know, and meanwhile, she'll be treated like the sotah was treated. Shalach le'Rava la'Abaye b'yad Rav Shemaya Barzira. So Rava had a chance to think this over, you know, Abaye's answer to him. And he suddenly realized, oh, wait a minute, there's a loophole in what Abaye is telling me. Remember, Abaye has answered him, Boyin olav mishnei tzadim. We tell him you can't have it both ways, right? So Rava sends a letter using Rav Shemaya Barzira as a messenger. And he says, now, I still don't agree with what you said. Minit naktuva ligvot mechayim? I mean, lamaisa, a ketuva of a yavama, you're claiming, is basically included in this, like, kishitinasi. That's not true. You have no rights yet for collection. Because Vatanya Rabbi Abba Amar, listen to this, this is amazing. Rabbi Abba says at a brisa, Sha'alti et Sumchus. I asked Sumchus what the din would be of Arotseshi in Korbidich Seyachid. Ketzer Hu said, what can a guy do if he inherited $30 million from his brother? And he's got a Yavama, and she's got the property all tied up, and he wants to be able to sell. Well, I'll tell you, he writes me back. Im Kohenu, if he's a Kohen, so he can't divorce her. If he's a Kohen, once he divorces her, he can't take her back. So what he should do is, he should get her drunk, you know, and have her sign off. Yes, yes, Suda. Make this beautiful Suda, you know, et mishteh ester, you know. And Yifayes, he'll talk her into it, that she should give him reshus, and she'll sign off, and it's fine, I want you to be rich. After all, I also wanted you to go to Hawaii. So, okay.
Before the Yibum?
No. She is all the property for her entire life is Meshubit for her Ksuva from the first husband, and he can't sell at any time, even after Yibum. So if he's a Kohen, that's the most he can do. Try to get her to agree. But if he's a Yisrael, it's a simple answer. Give her a divorce, pay her 200 mana, take the money and run, and then you can take her back again. So Megarish Begate V'Yachzir. So let him now give her a get, and he could take her back again, and then there would be no problem, and everything is very simple. Now, he's talking.
She'll get 200.
He's got $30 million that he wants. This is cheap. This is a very cheap Eitzah. Besides which, he's not planning on divorcing her again to pay her off. So what does he care? Sorry? Yisrael. The Kohen only made a party. That doesn't matter. Absolutely. That's part of Kikol Davar. That's what I kept talking out. So says, Rav, now, does this make any sense? I mean, this is crazy. Give a divorce to pay the money, take her back again. I got a very simple Eitzah, okay? Niyachid leishir ketuvah, set aside the money for her ketuvah, open a bank account, and sell the rest.
He can't.
Says the Gemara, what? I mean, if that's a question to you, you could have looked in the Mishnah. You don't need the Braita. What I need the Braita to prove that the ketuvah cannot be collected, mechayim, because there's clearly no way to be miyachid money. Because if there were a way to be miyachid money, so then the simplest Eitzah is to go ahead and to be miyachid money. To go through a divorce? I mean, that's terrible. It's a bizoya. I mean, people are going to be talking about this for years. You hear this guy? Wanted to take money, divorces her, takes her back, and it's scandalous. So there's a simple answer. Now, by the way, why isn't there an even simpler answer? Because ultimately, the only reason, as we're going to see later on, the only reason that we don't allow the Yavam to sell is because since he never wrote her a ketuvah, she does not feel secure because it doesn't say anywhere in a document that she is holding that this guy was mechayev that all of the property, dekanoi v'daknoi, anything that I buy and sell is still going to be leaned to you. Therefore, we could talk ourselves blue and explain to her, but it really doesn't matter because anyway, he takes the place of your husband, your original husband wrote that. So even if he sold it, he could not in any way remove the lien from your property. You don't have to worry. She says, I don't trust this legal stuff. You show me where it says that property that he sold, I can take. So she doesn't trust it. So then the simple question would be, why not have him simply write it? In other words, the second time around, he's going to be freeing up this property. Why is he going to be freeing up this property? It's still here. He hasn't sold it all. He just gave her a get yesterday or today, and he's taking her back today. And he still is now able to free up his property. How can he do that? Doesn't necessarily have to sell all the property. The way he can do that is by writing her a ketuvah the second time around when he takes her and not letting it be on the Baal HaRishon. Right? Because then he'll be like a normal husband, and a normal husband can sell property. It's just that she has a lien against it. We don't prohibit the sale of a regular husband.
The lien stays on it.
So once he divorced her, there's no longer a lien.
That's what I
Because he gave the ksuba on the new
ksuba. Yeah. On the new ksuba, he's a new husband. And a normal husband is allowed to sell even with a lien. It's just that the buyer takes into consideration that there's a lien. He needs to see whether there's other property that she's going to be able to collect from, like everybody who sells property or who took a loan once. He took a loan, but who knows, one day a bank can come along and say, excuse me, sir, but 10 years ago we lent money to this guy and this property was only for a sheep. Fine. That's what you have companies for, that to check out whether there's liens, right?
After the divorce and he gets the tuba, the rest of the first husband's property
is now freed up.
Is freed up and belongs to the
brother. To the brother who was now the heir. The wife has no rights to it at all, right? So in that case, theoretically, you should say that if the guy would write her a new ktuva, that would be okay.
Right.
The thing is that she can prevent that from happening by saying, I don't want to go through this whole thing with you. I want to keep what I have, and I feel secure with that. So therefore, he has to divorce her, and then it's not up to her. Feel secure. Well, yeah, or get her acceptance. Yeah. But once he takes her back, he can always take her back by writing her a new ktuva, and then he would be like a normal husband, because there in the ktuva would say, da'aknoi, dikanoi, v'da'aknoi. And once she has that, she can no longer claim, I'm not secure, you're selling. He says to her, what do you mean you're not secure? It says over here that you can always go ahead and you can collect it from a guy that I'd sell it to. So that's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, so we just have a unique case over here where she can be ma'akev writing a new ktuva. But what I'm proving, says Rava, is that if, in fact, she was able to have the ktuva mechayim, so then why can't he simply set it aside? Asks the Gemara, what do I need a bright to prove that? The Mishnah says that, for heaven's sakes. Can't you read the Mishnah? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't he ask from the Mishnah? It says in the Mishnah, lo yomarla, he cannot say to her, ktuvateich munachat lachal ha-shulchan, here is a bank account, and I want to sell. So tell me, why didn't that mean to you when you read the Mishnah that a ktuvah is not collectible michayim? Says Rava, please. Did you read the rest of the Mishnah? It says exactly those same words on a regular husband. You're trying to tell me that a regular husband is not able to sell the property that he owns? That's ridiculous. Of course he is. Even though the Mishnah says he shouldn't do that. So it doesn't mean he can't do it. It's just saying it's not a good idea to set aside cash. That's all it's saying. It's an Eitz HaTovah. Let's look at that inside. It says in the Gemara, if that's what bothers you, so then why don't I say from the Mishnah, Hatam Eitz HaTovah Kamash Malan. Maybe from that, all I could see was that it's giving us good advice. Either a good advice, don't make it too easy to get divorced. Or a good advice, don't put cash under your mattress. But the Lotei Malki, you're going to tell me that it means La Halacha in the Mishnah, and it's not an Eitz HaTovah, so look at the continuation of the Mishnah. Sefer Diktoni V'chein Lo Yomar Adam, a normal person, not a Yavam, also can't tell his wife, Arei Ktuvat Eich Munechet Lach Alor Shulchan. El Nekol Nechatzev Achrein Lech Ktuvat Ishto. Are you trying to tell me that a regular husband can't sell? A guy owns property, he can't sell property because he married a woman? That's insane. Of course he can sell. What's the Mishnah saying? It's just giving you a tzitovah kamash malan. It's not good to put cash under a mattress because you'll end up losing instead of gaining. Better to make an investment. Maybe that's all it's saying. All it's saying is an a tzitovah. But from the Braita of Rabbi Abba, there I have a real kasha. If in fact it's collectible, so explain to me why there's no way for him, short of a divorce, no way for him to be able to get that money freed up so that he can get his trip to Hawaii. Of course, it's more specific. It's not stronger, it's clearer. The Rebbe Nami Lokasha. Rebbe is not a problem. Because it's true that you can't. But not because legally it's not collectible. That's not the reason that the Mishnah Aser, that the Braita says you gotta give her a divorce. It's Mishum Eva. If, over here, the woman sees that he's setting aside money for a divorce, then that destroys the relationship that exists between them. So you'll say that, I mean, isn't the divorce a little bit more traumatic than his setting aside money in case of a divorce? No, actually it's not, because it's clearly a legal trick. He's saying, look, I'm giving you this divorce because legally we can't have a joint tax return unless I remarry you. Is she going to be upset by that?
No.
Not necessarily. Because she understands that it's innocent, or it's a legal fiction. I love you, let's do this together, you know, we'll divorce and I'll remarry you the same day. It'll be a divorce almanac that I remarry you. And everything is going to be great. It's wonderful, we're going to save tons of money. Whatever. So that's not considered to be Eva. But if he would go ahead and set it aside, she suspects him of wanting to divorce her. Why is he setting aside the money? So Mamela, we asked it because of Eva, but not because of Ketuvah, does not have specific rights to be chayim. Who gavered enough of Le'yavama b'pumpadita? There was an interesting case where a guy, the oldest brother in the family, was planning on taking a Yavama in Pumpadita. He didn't get on his trip yet before somebody calls him up and warns him, you should know your kid brother is planning on giving a get to this Yavama. And if he does, none of the brothers are allowed to marry her. Remember that once a Yavama gets a get, even though she still needs Chalitza, she can no longer get Yivam from anybody. She can only get Chalitza. Your kid brother's going to mess you up. Oh my God, he says, what's his problem? So he talks to his brother. Amalei says to him, listen. My daitech, I mean, I understand your problem. Your problem is that you know that our brother who died left $20 million.
And you want
some of the money. So basically, you're going to make sure that I can't be miyabim her. That way, they'll only be Chalitza, and then we all share the loot. But I like her. So I'm going to make you a deal that you can't refuse. I'm going to give you half of the money. Even if I take her, just please don't possible. So basically, he sells, so to speak. Okay, so I'm going to lay my diet to Bishum. Nifsei. I'm going to give you half the money anyway. Don't worry about it. And I write it out here. Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef, no good. Because even the Omer Rabbanon Lo Lizman, since the Mishnah, as we saw, really is saying, not just an Eitzatova, but as Rav Abba showed us, you're not allowed to sell. So if you're not allowed to sell, Afagav Dezovin, even if you went ahead and sold, in a case where the Rabbanon tell you not to sell, then the sale is canceled. Lo Aviz Vina Is Vina. This is not a good sale. So even though he agreed to buy the rights to the Yibam, so to speak, from his kid brother, by giving him half of the money, that sale is bottled. So now he gets the girl and the loot. So says Rabbi Yosef. How do I know that that's true? The Tanya, Misha made v'niach shomeret yavam, v'niach nechasim b'mei amana. A guy who dies leaving a wife that is supposed to get yibam, and he's got now $100 million of property. Afa pishik tuvata ena el amana. Basically, what does he owe her for a ketuva? $100. Nonetheless, lo yimkor. Not 1 cent of that property can be sold. Shekol nechasav achrin lektuvata. So there you go.
They get divorced, can he marry her afterwards anyway?
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah. Omale Abaye, says Abaye, now that, but you still haven't proven that you can't, just because the Rabbanit said you can't, you haven't shown that if you did, it wouldn't be chal. I'll prove to you that that's not true. Excuse me, we just had a case in the Mishnah where that's absolutely not the case. And that was the previous Mishnah. It's not Beit Shammai Amrim Timkor, Beit Hillel Amrim Lo Timkor, in the case of an Arusa. So we said over there, well, Beit Hillel says she should not be selling this, but if she does sell it, if she sells it, then it's a good sale. So you see from here that even where the Rabbanan tell you not to sell, that doesn't mean that if you sold it, it's not a good sale. They're telling you sometimes the moral thing to do, the right thing to do, but that doesn't mean that legally it's not going to be tofes. So over here too, they tell the Yavam, don't sell any of this property. But if he did, such as this case where the guy's buying the rights to Yivam, so to speak, with half of the property, it's a kosher sale. Shachul HaKamini Reb Chanina Bar Papi. Well, Abaya and Reb Yosef are bitterly opposed to each other. And so they decide they're going to go ahead and they're going to send it, the Shaila, to Reb Chanina Bar Papi to say, see what he has to say about it. They send it to him and he sends back a letter. Reb Yosef is right. Says Abaya, well, Alter Chanina Bar Papi, keep it all along. What do you mean? I mean, we're looking for added information. So what exactly did he do to Rav Yosef Shmua? Oh, I know what he did. He took Rav Yosef Shmua, and he bought beautiful earrings, and he screwed the earrings onto Rav Yosef Shmua. So now it's much better than it was before I sent it to him, because it didn't have earrings before. I understand, sir. He agrees. Thank you very much. I still disagree. I thought we were sending it to him so he could prove it from somewhere, not to claim to us that it's beautiful and send us a pretty picture. So where's the earrings over here? Big deal. Okay, so there's, all right, let's send it to Rabbi Menuhin, Berater of Nechumi. See what he has to say. He sent back, I agree with Abaya, but, if it turns out that Rabbi Yosef had something more to say, and there really were earrings, it's just he didn't tell us, let me know. Because maybe I'm missing a point. I don't know why Rabbi Yosef thought that Abaya is wrong. It seems to be very clear like Abaya. It's a Mishnah. And Rabbi Yosef was getting a little nervous about this. So, Nafek Rabbi Yosef Dak V'yashkaf. Rabbi Yosef said, okay, I got to find a raya to this. I'm very unhappy. Tatanya. And his raya was from the following brayta. Suppose one of the brothers borrowed money from the brother that died. The guy dies. V'niach shel meret yavam, and he leaves now a wife for Yibam. So now the brother says to himself, it's a little ridiculous for me to pay up the debt if I am the Yavam. I mean, I'm supposed to be inheriting the guy. So I should not pay money that I owed him when he was alive. That's ridiculous. He can't say that. Lo Yomar, he can't say, since anyway I am the Yoresh, Oyel Shani Yoresh, exactly. I got the money in my pocket. I'm going to take it out of my pocket now and stick it into the bank account, which is mine anyway. Oh, no. You can't say that. We will take it away from him in court, and we will use it to buy property to ensure the collection of her ketuvah, because the money that is due to the brother is no different than any other money that was his. And as we said, it's all meshubit for the collection of the ketuvah. And therefore, he would only be able to eat perot as any husband. Amalei Abaya says, Abaya, gee, well, that is a pretty interesting an interesting point. Because, I mean, there you're indeed, it seems to be saying that it's a kalvachomer. If the money that he's already collected, so to speak, it's in his pocket, we're saying, well, too bad. You're going to have to give it back. As a koshkin, if he sold money, so for sure he's going to have to give it back, right? I mean, over here, this was his own money, and we're not letting him keep it. So how are we going to let him keep money of the property that he took from the government sold? And that's exactly what Rabbi Yosef was saying. If you sell property to belong to the dead brother, you're sorry, but you're going to have to pay it back and take the property back because it belongs now to the ketuvah. I mean, it's a kavachomer. Ooh, says Abai, this is tough. Maybe, deal with the tavalei avdule. Maybe we're just trying to do the guy a favor. Maybe the point over here is, instead of having the cash, what we should do is, it's just an etzitova. If you buy property, so then there won't be any problem. And like this, you're going to spend the cash in the pub. It better buy property.
Now, as Tosis points out, obviously, we haven't given an etzitova to this guy and told him, you know, every penny that you've got, why don't you invest in land? That's none of our done business. Why are we suddenly now giving him an etzitova when it comes dafka to the money that he gets in this particular way? It must be that the money that is Yorish Miachav, Miachiv, the reason that we're telling him this is the real Eitzatova is because this way he's going to have Shalom Bayis. Because since she doesn't have a normal ksuva, if she doesn't see that he's taking steps to make sure that she's taken care of, so there's always going to be an insecurity which will be goring difficulties in the home.
Oh, Malay says, come off it, please. Tana Toni Motziin. It says over here we're going to take the guy to court and take the money out of his pocket. We don't take money out of people's pockets in order to give them a good etza. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. We're trying to do the guy a favor. So since Rabbi Binyumi Beravin of Nechumi had said, well, if Rabbi Yosef comes up with anything intelligent, send it to me. So they took this and they sent it to him and they said, well, he sure did. What are we going to do? This is a pretty good raya. You pass him like a baya. But actually, Rabbi Yosef came up with a nice raya from this braisa. So when he heard this, Omar Lahu, so he said, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yosef Bar Minyumi, Omar Rav Nachman, Zo Eina Mishnah. Now, this braisa is ridiculous, please. Don't give me this braisa. What do you mean, Zo Eina Mishnah? Something's wrong with this braisa? In my time, what makes you think that this braisa is an out and out error? It's a ridiculous braisa. What's so ridiculous about it? Is it because, look, the guy who wrote this price, it must be off his rocker. This is cash. It's in the guy's pocket. You can't collect the ketubah from cash. You can only collect the ketubah from real estate. I mean, maybe the price is going to leave it to Rabbi Meir. We saw our Mishnah. It's going to leave it to Rabbi Meir that you collect the ketubah even from the tautele. So, do you want Rabbi Meir? Do you want Rabbi Meir? Do you want Ella, is it because, Mishum the Omar La, Lav At, Lav Bal Dvarim, Balat Dvarim Didiat? Is it because obviously she cannot sue for this money, because when she sues, he says to her, do you have some type of power of attorney that you're suing? What exactly are you suing for? I didn't borrow money from you. How can you sue me? You have no power of attorney to sue me. And you're not my Balad Dvarim. So who is going to be taking out this money from my pocket? Someone that I didn't borrow the money from? I'm sorry, lady. Bye-bye. Not true. Because Dilma Rabbi Natani. Remember Rabbi Natan's famous dictum, which is that if A owes B and B owes C, then A owes C. So since that's the case over here, maybe she could come along and say, what do you mean? I don't need a power of attorney. Because my husband owes me this ksuba. And therefore, I'm suing you for the rights to this money. At least I want my lien on it. But give it back. Let's buy property. So I'm being tovat you, utilizing Rabbi Natan. So Dilma Rabbi Natani, Ditani Rabbi Natan Omer, Minayin Lenoshe B'Chaviro Mana V'Chaviro B'Chaviro. Minayin Shemotzi Mizeven Otnim Lazeh. How do we know that we could go directly to A, can directly sue C? Talmud Lomar V'Natan La'asher Ashamlo. Give the money to the guy who ultimately owns it. Obviously, who am I going to give it to? Chilik and Billy. Must be that the Torah is coming to tell me that where you owe somebody money, don't give it to him. Give it to the one who is on the bottom line, the one that the money is supposed to go to. So again, I don't understand. Why are you saying this brayta? It's not a good brayta. What's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's mishum de lo ashkech and tana de mach betrei chumri biktuna. We have searched high and low and have never, ever found a man de Omar who holds both of these halachas. He holds like Rabbi Meir that cash is meshubet to a ktuva, and he also holds of Rabbi Natan that you can go ahead and be tovea the cash for the ktuva. I'm not saying that there's anything inherently crazy about that, but it's not a brayta. There's no tana that holds that, and therefore, since we've never found anybody that says this, ela ikar Rabbi Meir, ikar Rabbi Natan, so where did you all of a sudden come up with a shita and a brayta that doesn't exist? Omar Rava. Says Rava, oh, now I understand. I was listening in. Abaya kept quoting this when Rabbi Yosef, I heard the story of Rabbi Yosef and Abaya's machlokas, and I heard Abaya always saying, don't bring me any rias from that. I never understood where he got that from, but now that you're telling me over the mice of Rabbi Yumi, now I got where he got it from. That indeed, there's nothing inherently crazy about the Braita, but it must be that it's in a Mishnah because it's not the Shita of any known Tanoim.